Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Well, you can't say they ain't doing their due diligence. The Indianapolis Colts is interviewing everybody for their head coaching opening. This is another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Rashad and Destin. I'm your host, Rashad McGinnis. My co-host here, Destin Adams. Destin, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. The Colts search for the head coach. It seems like that viral video, hide your kids, hide your wives. The Colts interviewing everybody. Nobody's safe. No stone will be unturned. And only one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to see all of this and they're going to give us all these candidates to just try to butter people up, butter up the casual fan to believe, man, they interviewed 12 guys and they gave Jeff Saturday the job. He's the guy. Right. Or they're doing this, or Bauer's putting this many guys on the interview block so he just can't allow Jim Irsay to hire Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I just think it's really the latter. It's at this point, it's a surplus of candidates. Some really good candidates, some really bad candidates. Well, not really bad, but people I would prefer more. I would prefer any of them over Jeff Saturday. Let's be honest here. I would be happy with anyone that has prior coaching experience that's not Jeff Saturday. I didn't want it to be this way. I wanted to really get somebody that I can be excited about, but the Colts have forced my hand and have lowered the bar in hell. So now I feel like if it's anyone other than Saturday, I will probably throw a party.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like they almost made it to where all those candidates that are kind of in the middle, because I think this is it's a very good group of guys that they're interviewing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I don't think there's a bad option.
Yeah, it's a very large net, much larger net than you normally see. It's the largest net that's been thrown of the open jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is kind of like what you just said, and we were talking about it before the show started, that Jeff Saturday to some, and I'm saying some very lightly because it's actually most people who follow are fans of the Colts. They look at Jeff Saturday as the nuclear, everything went wrong head coach hire right now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be happy if you get the notification from Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, Rashad McGinnis, Destin Adams, the big names. if you guys get the notification that the hilarious. Colts have hired, fill in the blank with any name but Jeff Saturday, no matter who it is, you're going to have a moment of relief.
Right.
I'm just going to be honest. Like, there are people on here. So, for me, if it's not Jeff Saturday, the second to bottom of my list is going to be Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get that notification. The Colts have hired former defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, Aaron Glenn, to be their next head coach. Originally, in usual years, that you get that notification, and your response is going to be, that's really the best you could do,
right?
Serious, but that initial reaction is going to be like dopamine. Like it's just going to, like you're just going to be like, oh, okay, they did it. They didn't do it. Welcome, Aaron. Welcome, Aaron Glenn, to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there are the great candidates on this list. There are the meh candidates on this list. There's the Jeff Saturday candidate on this list.
That's the tiering system you have right now.
For me personally, the meh may be like a couple tiers, but there's four names at the top for me.
Mm-hmm.
The meh tier, maybe like the above meh, and then the meh.
Okay.
And then Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The last four people I believe the Colts reached out to was four guys that's still playing, they're still coaching in the playoffs right now. One being Dan Quinn, former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, took Atlanta to the Super Bowl along with
future Denver Broncos head coach.
I really think that's where he ends up if, you know, if the Peyton thing goes, it runs its course and Peyton ends up in Carolina, which is certainly a possibility. Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator of the Giants, former defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. I call him Blitz Martindale because he loves to send pressure, dials up exotic pressures. D'Amico Ryans, who instantly moved into some people's favorite once the Colts reached out to him about an interview. So hopefully we'll see that get done in the next week or so. And Mike Kafka, the Giants offensive coordinator, who's had a tremendous year in his first season as offensive coordinator for the New York Football Giants. I know if any of you all saw some football this weekend, y'all saw the show that Daniel Jones put on and the way that offense has been playing this season with as little talent as they have. I mean, hell, go back to the whooping they put on the Colts, you know.
Can you name three receivers on the Giants that'll be playing this week?
Yeah, I can, but I'm sure the average football fan can't. And if you I can go.
Go crazy. I think I could do it too. It's just
Richie James, Kadarius Hodges, and Darius Slayton. Yeah, don't put me on a spot like that. I almost didn't get that. But yeah, man, this Giants team is talent wise, it is not. You know, I mean, they got two bookend tackles, of course, because they took top 10 tackles the last two seasons. And that's really kind of the anchor of that offense, along with Saquon Barkley just being a freaking machine. You seen that first touchdown he had this past weekend, that 20-yard?
He's still good. He's still pretty good at football. I think the only one you didn't mention who is still coaching as well that has been added to the list since our last show is Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs.
I forgot about Eric B.
Who has completed his interview. Those other three have not officially interviewed. But all three of which, the Giants coordinators as a coaching staff, they agreed that none of them are going to interview anywhere until after the team has been eliminated from the playoffs. So we're going to have to wait on the Giants guys. I haven't heard if Dan Quinn is not interviewing anywhere until after they're eliminated or if there's another thing going on. But the Colts didn't put in any interviews in for anyone playing during Wild Card Weekend until their games had ended. Mm-hmm. So Dan Quinn was Monday night, obviously, the last game of Wild Card Weekend, the reasoning being that didn't go out until the last minute was because he had just finished his game.
One thing I wanted to ask you before we get into the questions and connect with the people. Did you think it was weird that Eric Bieniemy was the only one we hadn't heard of ahead of time? And Ursay just broke the news on Twitter. Yeah, Eric Bieniemy interview.
Insider Jim Ursay.
I'm like, what kind of crap is that? But, you know, I guess it was top secret information.
Maybe because Bieniemy's Ballard's friend. They were just on a phone call. Ursay, like, hobbled into Ballard's office. He's like, who are you on the phone with?
They called that an interview? The interview?
And Ballard was like, oh, I'm just on my phone with Eric Bieniemy talking about their game and for next week. And then Ursay was like, oh, yeah. Hobbled out of the room, tweeted that they interviewed Eric Bieniemy after he walked out. So now the Colts have interviewed Eric Bieniemy.
Hey, man, after this past season, that won't surprise me. Like, that wouldn't be a shocker. I know it'd be, you know, breaking news to any other organization, but for us, that's just another day in the life of a Colts fan, man. We became numb to it. So you ready to hit these questions?
Always, always, always.
All right, who's first up? First up, we got a question from Ryan Kendi. I believe this is a new one. The at name is Kendi. Ken Diggity. I kind of like that. I'm going to go with a 7. Ken Diggity. I like Ken Diggity.
So I'm not going to knock you for this.
Mm-hmm.
But Ken Diggity, they run together. It's interesting because like you have the Kindy, Kindy, so you could just be like double using the D, and that's not why you have it capitalized. I think it would look aesthetically better if you just rode KIN, capital D, and let that ride on the at. I'm
So
not
you can
gonna,
separate it.
yeah, I think it would just look better aesthetically, but I think it sounds great. I think it's a cool at, so I'm not going to dock you for that. That's just like personal advice. I think it would look aesthetically better. I still think I'm gonna make this the highest one I've ever rated, or at least it's tied. And
Really?
I'm gonna go at 8. I like Ken Diggity. I like how it sounds. I like how it flows.
Ken Diggity is
It's his
dope. I rock with
last
that.
name, so it's a cool play on words.
Ryan Kennedy. I mean Kendi, I'm sorry.
I mess with
I'm
it.
not
I
mad at
do.
that. I'm not
I
mad at
do.
that. Eight. Destin handing out eights early on the show. Wow.
I'm feeling good today, I guess, man. Merry Christmas.
That's because you're going to the Senior Bowl.
That's what it
Let's
is.
go. Let's get to the question is, I keep seeing that the Colts are going to trade MPJ, possibly other players, and a bevy of draft picks for number one overall. There's no way that's real, right? Go ahead and step on this, Destin. I've been seeing this going around the timeline, and go ahead and just end it once and for all, please.
There has been zero. Now, the Bears fans, Bears people who cover the Bears, throwing out hypothetical trades. If I had lucked into the number one pick at the end of the year like they did, I get it. They're on top of the world. You can throw out whatever crazy ones you want. Just be happy we're not Panthers fans, okay, guys? Because some of the trades that them people are putting out that they think the Panthers would give up to trade up for a quarterback at the
Oh,
top of this
wait.
class.
I gotta find it. Go
I
ahead.
saw one earlier that was two. They had the 9 this year,
That's probably the same
first
one I
next
saw.
year, Brian Burns and DJ Moore for just the number one overall pick this year. Like there's a Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, Peyton Manning
I
type
didn't see the
prospect.
DJ Moore one. That's crazy. The one I saw was 9 this year, 56 this year, next year's first, next year's second, and Brian Burns.
I just want to remind everybody, the Panthers declined trades where they would have got, was it two or three firsts for Brian
I know it
Burns?
was two for sure from
Yeah.
the Rams. From the Rams.
So they went. That's all I'm saying. I mean, Bears fans have fun with it, but the moral of the story for this, the Colts and Panthers, we can speak for both of them. Neither of them have a head coach right now. I cannot imagine either team. Is I can't speak for the Panthers as much, but the Colts are not going to be getting into trade discussions with the Chicago Bears until the head coach decision is made, so you can start having a full staff in place to make those decisions. I also feel very confident to say Michael Pittman Jr. is not going to be traded for the number one pick. I feel pretty confident that they're going to try to work towards an extension this offseason even. I could see that being in the works and seeing if they can get that done this offseason. They like Michael Pittman a lot. I promise the Colts like Michael Pittman more than you listening like Michael Pittman. I think they know the fact that the passing game has not just had an influx of quarterbacks. It's just been such an up and down roller coaster of what the passing game is. And he's been affected by it, but he's still been productive. He didn't hit 1,000 yards this season in a year. He barely didn't hit 1,000 yards, I should say, in a year where he had Matt Ryan, Sam Ehlinger multiple games, Nick Foles, Frank Reich fired mid-year, Marcus Brady fired, no person on staff with NFL play calling experience that is willing to take the play calling job as the quarterback coach declines to be the play caller. Michael Pittman, I just cannot see him being traded for the number one pick unless negotiations go wrong, and then there's this whole different debacle that comes up. But I promise you, any trade that you are seeing right now, and if it's reported that there have been conversations, that person's lying to you.
98 catches with all of that going on this season is insane. But anyway, but yeah, I'm just glad you put that to bed because I've been seeing it on my timeline. Y'all know how I feel about my timeline. It's very sacred to me. I try to protect it as much as possible from the nonsense. But that one kept popping up, and I'm glad somebody that Destin was able to debunk it. I did it on Twitter a couple of times. I just got tired of replying to when people kept adding me in that. No, it's not real. Even had a couple people DM me about it. It's not real.
Next one coming from Patrick Rye, good friend of the show, longtime question giver. Of the current head coach candidates, who do you think would bring in the best coordinators, and who are some names you think you could think they'd have for the new OC and DC if Bradley is released?
Well, the person I think that can bring in the best coordinators is probably, I'm going to go with Raheem Morris, just because
I'm shocked.
Of the experience. I was about to say, that was
flabbergasted.
That was a fairly easy one to go with. I mean, Raheem Morris, let's be honest here. He started off in legendary territory. You know, he got his start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers during the golden era of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they won the Super Bowl, when they had one of the best defenses in NFL history. They had several Hall of Famers on it. Part of that, John Gruden and Monty Kiffin. Who else was on that staff? Mike Tomlin was on that staff. He's just been around, man. Getting with McVay, you know, being with Dan Quinn in Atlanta. He worked with Kyle Shanahan when he was in Atlanta as well. He just made so many relationships. I spoke about DeSean McVay. I spoke about the just multiple coaches, the type of staff he can build. If I was thinking about a defensive coordinator, a name to keep an eye on actually for a defensive coordinator is Ejiro Evero. You know, that's a guy that's currently the defensive coordinator with the Broncos, but you know, a new coaching staff is coming in there. They're probably going to want a new guy to become their guy. He had tremendous success, even interviewed with. For the head coaching vacancy with the Colts. He had a top five defense with Denver last year, and he's not moving out because he didn't perform well. He's just moving out because he was a product of the coaching staff that's just Nathaniel Hackett just ruined, you know. So look for that relationship. Of course, there's Eric Henderson. I won't even elaborate on that. He's defensive line coach for the Rams, won defensive line coach of the year last season during their Super Bowl run. They have a very tight relationship as well. It's a ton of guys, man. It's a ton of guys. So I just would go Raheem Morris. It's just easier to figure out what direction he would go in because of the quality of people that he's coached with. And who knows? Maybe Raheem does decide to keep Gus Bradley on. Who knows?
I mean, Raheem Morris, I think, is the correct answer. I just think he has such a vast experience in the league. I mean, for only being 46 years old, Raheem Morris has been coaching in the NFL. He was a part of the New York Jets in 2001, not in a full coaching role, but that was his first year in the NFL in any capacity. And then 2002 began in a coaching role as the defensive quality control coach, which means – if we don't count 2001, we throw the Jets year out if you want. He has been in the NFL for 21 years at 46 years old. That's pretty unheard of.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. Comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial Series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial Series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.
That's ridiculous, man. I mean, and he had a shot when he was a head coach. He got the head coaching job at 32 years old with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Clearly, he wasn't ready for that job, and he'll tell you that himself. He'll be the first one to tell you that he had a lot of growing to do as a coach, you know, and as a man, period. You know, but
I mean, how many 32-year-olds succeed at being a head coach that early, man? I mean,
McVay?
That's what I'm saying. The new, like, at the time that he took the job at 32, though, like that's pretty unheard of. Like, Sean McVay eventually would have some success. Kyle Shanahan was pretty young when he got his first head coaching gig as well, I believe. But the guy was 32 years old, inheriting a pretty bad roster, who was going through some toxic turnover already when he got the job. Mm-hmm. And still, in one of those three seasons, gets 10 wins with Josh Freeman at quarterback. You know, Colts great Josh Freeman, I should say. But so it's hard to see guys just blame him so much. It really is. It's hard to see people look at his resume and say that he had a head coaching gig and it didn't work. And people have even gone on to use the word retread. This is not a normal retread situation, right? Not to throw some guy, like, this is not like we're interviewing Jim Caldwell, who's gone through multiple different head coaching gigs, had good years, had bad years, did it at a very prime part of his coaching career. This was a kid and trying to coach at 32 years old, has grown a lot since then, has been under a lot of greats since then. Raheem Morris is ready. I don't know if it's going to be Indy. I think it could be. I kind of hope it is. But whoever gets Raheem Morris next, I think he's going to be successful.
Just to let you know, Raheem Morris, in 2013, when he worked for the Washington Commanders now, just want an idea of what kind of offensive minds he worked with on this one staff alone was Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniels, Sean McVay. And we can throw in Aubrey Pleasant, who's a great safeties coach as well.
That Washington staff was fire, though. Like, yeah, that's been known for a while.
Yeah, and Raheem Morris was the defensive backs coach at that time for that Washington team. This guy has connections like unimaginable. So if you want to play the connect the dots game, play the coordinator position coach game, Raheem Morris is the guy for that. Absolutely. Next question from my man Led Tassel at the Mikey McFly. If Saturday is hired as the head coach, I almost banned this question just off that first line alone.
There's probably a lot of these. You had to answer one of them.
Yeah. If Saturday is hired as the head coach, do you think how he was hired, plus his recent comments of not wanting to do any other coaching job other than head coach, affects how good of a staff he could bring? Thinking other coaches are upset how he got the job. For your information, I absolutely do not want Saturday. Thank you, Mikey, for the disclaimer at the end. But I didn't hear his comments about that. So can you elaborate on that for me?
He essentially was asked if he would have any interest doing any other coaching role in the NFL if he didn't get the head coaching job with the Colts. And he said that at this moment he has no interest doing anything but being a head coach, was essentially how he put it. Mm. Now, I do think there are coaches that wouldn't like that, obviously. But when building a staff, you're going to be putting people on staff that you have relationships with anyway.
Right.
Jeff Saturday is going to be putting people on the staff that he has relationships with. He's pitched a staff. Whenever this interview with the Colts are going to happen, he's going to pitch that staff. I'm sure he's talked with said people about, if I get this job in Indianapolis, I would love to have you on the staff. So I don't think he'll have trouble forming a staff. I think he has people, he has relationships. He had a long playing career, lots of coaches he's been under, lots of coaching systems. Like, I think he will be able to find a staff. Is it going to be the best staff? No, but is he the best candidate? I rest my case.
I'll say it, but yeah, man, it's no need to even, you know, spend too much time on that one. I don't think it'll affect people because, like you said, the people he's targeting will be the people that he has personal relationships with that pretty much already knows how he feels and I guess are pretty much in line with his vision or whatever his plans is for the Indianapolis Colts.
The next question here coming from Oscar Apacio. I believe we have answered. We have done his app before. What have you guys heard about Matt Ryan?
From everything I heard, Matt's gone. I know the Colts will probably frame it saying they looked for a trade, but nobody's going to trade for Matt in that contract with the way he just played this past season. I know Matt still wants to play at the time. I'm pretty sure he's going to take some time out to think about it with his family. But from everything I heard, Matt is gone and will be cut at some point this offseason.
Yeah, he'll be cut before his contract becomes guaranteed. I'm sure there's a sliver of hope where they're like, maybe he wants to just ride off into the sunset. Matt Ryan owes nothing to the Colts. We've said it multiple times. I wouldn't blame him if he waited to be cut and then retire if he does want to retire. Why not get $17 million before you walk out?
Makes all the sense in the world for him to wait before he decides to do that. But yeah, I think that's pretty much, point blank. I think we both can agree here that Matt will be gone pretty soon. Well, soon from a football deadline perspective.
Next one.
Oh, I think it's my turn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm sorry. Laughing Glass is priceless is the name, and the at name is Gotcha13X. Gotcha 13 times, I'll say. Gotcha 13 times. I'll give it a six. I'm not mad at it.
Six is what I was thinking too.
Okay. The question is, if we take a QB, what do you guys project our next pick to be? I'm torn. I'm sure that's what it was supposed to say. I'm torn because of free agents and possible trades. I could see us, I'm sure, taking an edge defensive lineman or a linebacker. Damn it, I should have gave you that question. That was tough to get through.
I mean, it's hard to predict those kind of things. I know. We just don't know if the Colts are going to trade up. We don't know if they're going to have, like, if their second round pick is going to be in the second round, the third round. We don't know. Currently, I'm just going to act as if all things stay the same. You stay at four, you draft a quarterback. I think in that scenario, you would see the Colts trade back from whatever that second round pick would be. I think it's 36. I think you trade back from 36. You'd see Bauer do that to try to gain an extra third or something this year. And I think there's a few options to look at on this team. Edge is a solid one, especially if Yannick is not retained. You could use another edge rusher because, you know, the Lord knows Chris Ballard has hit on so many second-round edge rushers. Sorry, guys.
He couldn't help it, so.
I couldn't help it. But there's going to be multiple needs. I mean, there's not a lot of corner depth on this team still, and this is going to be a really solid day two corner draft for sure. So corner is a position to watch. And there's so many offensive line depth issues on this team that I could see them taking three offensive linemen, four offensive linemen in this draft. Who knows?
I think you absolutely have to take a look at the – especially in the interior of the offensive line – or maybe some depth out on the edge. It is definitely needed with this team. But it's so early right now. You know, I try not to get into the later round things. You know, we have to see free agency kind of take shape first and see what the Colts exactly are targeting. But it is fun to get these kind of questions because it lets you know, we're that much closer to the draft season. And with the Senior Bowl coming up, I definitely will be looking, taking a long look at the offensive linemen, especially the middle to later round guys, because I think you could get real value with the interior offensive line and can get a potential starter out the middle of the rounds. So
hey, that'd be interesting to see. If we trade up, our second pick could not be till the fourth round. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, right?
That's what I'm saying. Who knows? We may have to send 36 and the third even to pick at number one if that's what they want to do. So who knows what the Colts could be doing there. But all I do know is this next question comes from Michael Williams II at MWilliams0406. I don't think we've rated that one.
Never did that one?
The picture looks familiar to me.
Yeah, I feel like we.
But the at, I do not remember an MWilliams0406. He could have changed it.
That's probably what it is. So I'll go six. I'm cool with it. The numbers on the end, I'm sure they have a meaning. And if I got the meaning to those numbers, it'll probably raise it. But I feel like we definitely rated Mike before. I remember Mike asking a couple of questions in the past.
You could be right. I'm going to go with the 6'2". 6.5 would be first name, last name, a few numbers in there. So I'll just dock it a half. The question is, do we have a better chance at seeing the Colts move up to one or drop back and pick up more draft capital?
This is pretty easy one for me. Moving up to one would definitely be a higher percentage than the Colts moving back. But I don't think the Colts are considering moving back at all. They know what's at stake. When you hear Ballard talk about it in an exit, pretty much not an exit interview, but end of the season presser, and that pick comes up, he talks about the value of that pick and how important that pick is to this franchise. This is not a time where you can experiment or play games. This is not a position where you trade back and you get a guy that you like. If you like a guy at this position, you don't play any games with him. You take him as soon as possible. If there's even a threat, inkling of someone else taking them at that spot, then you do whatever you have to do. Like Ballard said, you move heaven and earth to get up to one and get the guy that you like, because that's how important this pick is to the organization, to the future, the next 10 years of this franchise. So it's 100% moving up over moving back.
Yeah, the drop off from quarterback 4 to quarterback 5 is tremendous. Moving back is a giant risk that any of them could be gone. There are multiple teams in the NFL who still have question marks at franchise quarterback, and multiple people, just because you trade back doesn't mean other people don't trade in front of where you trade back from. Mm-hmm. Anywhere but 4 doesn't guarantee you one of those 4 quarterbacks. I mean, is it likely that 1, 2, 3, 4 they come off the board? It's not likely, but the reality of the situation is, even at 5, you are not guaranteed one of those 4 guys, because anyone could trade back, anyone could trade up. And I think those 4 guys, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, I think they all have realistic paths to being franchise quarterbacks at the next level, with the right staffs. I think everyone else is going to be a lot more work. It's not that they can't, it's just more is going to have to be done and more thoughts has to go into how that can happen. And I think that is going to be a reason why you don't see them trade back. It's a trade up or stay at 4 situation. 4 to me is the lowest the Colts will draft in the first round.
Yeah, you just don't play. Not with nothing as precious. You don't throw up something that's fragile. You know, you don't juggle something that's fragile, I should say. Destin, I'm going to ask you this one question randomly off script, and I'm going to ask you this probably one time randomly. Till the draft happens, who does the coach take at 4?
Oh, man.
I actually get next week, so don't worry about it. I mean, you can tell me now.
Okay. Right now, I feel that the quarterback the Colts are going to end up taking is CJ Stroud. I don't know if that's 1. I don't know if it's at 4. I think that is who the fit ends up being, and that's where he ends up going. I just think it makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to say CJ Stroud for now.
Colts fans hate me. I'm just going to tell them. I think it's Will Levis. Today, if I had to pick a guy today, it's Will Levis.
It's between not those two. It really is. I think it's a almost 50-50 flip between the two of them. I think Anthony Richardson has a pretty solid chance. If you're a Colts fan who wants Bryce Young, I think the likelihood's very low.
Very low.
I think he makes a lot of sense in Houston. I also just think more – I don't think it will just be the Colts. I think more teams than people imagine are going to be concerned about his size. And I'm not even talking about height. Like, the reality of it is he weighs like 190. He's built like a slot receiver. And we just haven't seen that build work in the NFL yet. I don't even know if we've seen that build realistically try in the NFL yet at quarterback.
Especially going this high, you know, at the top of the draft, I just can't go Bryce Young because I just know Ballard. He's shown so much with his history. He told us what he's like out of his own mouth. So I'm not going to go against what he's already shown me. I think he bets on traits and, you know, Will, CJ, more so Will and Anthony Richardson actually are the traits he got. But CJ, what he does all around the board is just too enticing. That's what I'm hoping is his thought process, because that's what I see as the best fit for the Colts is CJ Stroud. But I think Ballard will probably see it different. So, let's get to the last question. I saved this one for last because this is a pretty fun one. So I wanted to get it on here. The guy who asked it this offseason, his ad name is @SpeedBlue23. Have we ever rated this ad name, SpeedBlue23?
So offseason, I remember the picture. I really feel like we have.
I feel like we have, too. Okay, so he said the Colts head coach candidates are all locked into a room. The Colts job will be offered to the last man standing in the all-out brawl. Who wins and why?
So a lot of things come into play here. Some people thinking this are probably going to be like...
The Saturday odds went up.
Yeah, I was saying, because it's actually about who wants the Colts job the most. Not about who is the toughest in the room. Because to me, I think the toughest two out of the whole bunch are going to be D'Amico and Bubba.
I wasn't even thinking about Bubba. Bubba's a tough
son of a gun, man.
I believe Bubba
laid the wood when he played too. I think he would give people run for their money. Now,
so what you're saying is Dan Quinn don't have a chance?
I doubt it. I think in the long run, I'm going to weigh in overall strength and overall want for the job. I'm going to say Bubba Ventrone would be the last man standing in this. I think Bubba is inching for that opportunity. I think him and Jeff Saturday are probably in the highest of wanting that job specifically, not just wanting a head coaching job, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think they would have that will, and I think Bubba's the only one that has a chance to compete with D'Amico Ryans in strength.
If Wink Martindale wasn't almost 60.
There's that too.
I would be inclined to pick Wink, but since Wink is 60, I'm going to go with D'Amico Ryans, man. I'm going to go with D'Amico Ryans. Just that linebacker mentality was just in the league not too long ago. I don't know if he cares enough to actually.
That's my thing.
To actually beat everybody's ass. And take the job. I don't know if he care enough. He might not. Bubba, you're right, though. He has the perfect mixture of youth, toughness, and want for the job. So you might be right there. I'm just going to go with D'Amico Ryan because I know he's a very prideful individual, so he's not going to let you just beat his ass. That's why I'm going with D'Amico Ryan.
It'd be a fun main event. It'd be a fun main event of Bubba versus D'Amico either way.
I think it'll come down to those two, though, for sure. All right, man, this has been another episode of the Saddle Up Show. Destin, do you have anything you want to tell the people before we talk to them next week?
No, I'm just going to say buckle in, Colts fans. I expect it to be a little bit of a long process. I do not expect that next week when we record, there will be a head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. So just be prepared for a little bit of a long wait. But hopefully the long wait means that they come out with the right guy.
Prediction from me, the news break while we're at Senior Bowl week, which we'll be at Senior Bowl week starting February 1st throughout the rest of the week. So I'm going to predict that the news will break sometime during Senior Bowl week.
The first week of February.
Absolutely.
All right. I like it. I like it.
Thank y'all for tuning in, man. We'll see y'all again next week. And my voice is cracking at the wrong time. Well, at the perfect time, actually, because the show's over. So we'll see y'all next week, man. Peace.